have a true picture of who God is. As long as we're in this human form, confined by our human understanding. Being human, we so easily gravitate to our religious box. And I think we feel very comfortable with that. All over this planet, people are in different boxes. And the boxes have different shapes and sizes, and the people in the boxes have different attitudes about their box. Some think that their box and their shape is the true representation of God. Others realize that it's one of many. But whatever religious box we find ourselves in, with our theories and our doctrines and our understanding, at best it offers a distorted view of who the Father truly is. Not a false view, but there's distortion. And I think we all need to come out of our box and let the Holy Spirit reveal the Father to us. You're not going to get this from religion. I don't care how good the church is, how good the minister is, how many gifts of the Spirit in our operation. To really see the Father as He is, to know His heart, His mind, only His Spirit can reveal that and make it a reality. Now, I'm standing here saying I think it's good that we come together and it's okay that we're in our boxes, but just realize that whatever your religion is, you got to step out of it and understand that the Father is greater and your relationship with Him is greater than your beliefs, your mindset. So can we do that this morning? Kind of step out and look at the Father and say, show me who you are. What I want us to look at today is the altar of sacrifice. Now we think about Abraham and Isaac. And there's so many examples of it in the scriptures. But we need to understand that when we look at sacrificing to God, giving up to God, under the law, is a very distorted view of what that means. And I want us to understand it in the light of New Covenant and what Christ has done for us. Because either it's an altar of duty or it's an altar of love. And if we're under law in our thinking, it's an altar of duty. And, you know, we all have different images of this, but, you know, we go through life and things get tough and we go, okay, God, you want me to put things on the altar. And we struggle with our own motivation of why we're so tightly holding on to things and giving it up and taking it back. It can become a very defeating atmosphere for us, a very negative atmosphere. Because we're constantly aware of our personal failure in giving everything to God. Yet what we need to recognize in that is it's not only our motivation we're upset with, we're questioning God's motivation toward us. If you picture yourself kind of like God holding you over a fire and saying, okay, is it hot enough yet? Can you let go? Not yet. And fire gets a little bit hotter. I mean, what's that whole image? And you may have other images. It's about a God that is testing us, torturing us a little bit, wanting something from us. It goes back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It goes back to the law, reward and punishments. There's nothing about love in there. And I think when we're really going through a difficult time with giving to God, a bigger problem than our humanity and our motivation is we don't understand that God really loves us. That's why we have such a hard time putting it on the altar. Well, we need to be freed from the effects the law has had on us. Because as long as we're under law, that altar will always be a negative experience to us. Giving to God will not be a joy. It will not be done with an awareness of love. It will be done out of a sense of duty, trying to perform, to avoid punishment, trying to get God's favor back. You want to know the truth? When Jesus Christ went to the cross, God's favor was on all of us, and it will never be removed. Not because of what we do or don't do, because of what His Son has done. I'm going to read to you just a few scriptures from Colossians 2. You can read this later. It says, and in Him, verse 10, you have been made complete, have been made complete. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, verse 13, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us of all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. That's speaking of the law. All I want you to see is it's all past tense. When you go to that altar, don't go under bondage to the law. You have been made complete. You have been made alive with him. What God is saying is we have this sense of we have to give God something. Something's missing. We're not fulfilling our duty to God. And God is looking down, and what he's saying through Colossians is that duty was fulfilled on the cross. Because of what Jesus did, you are complete in me. Because of what my son did, the debt has been wiped away. And not only our sins, he's saying the law itself was nailed to the cross. We don't have to be in bondage to that. So we allow the Holy Spirit to free us. Now, this altar of sacrifice, is it painful? Yes. But let it be the pain of love and not the pain of duty. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. We'll look at Abraham and Isaac. It's interesting. This is where my Bible starts. This is an old Bible, and I've lost some pages in the beginning. And no, don't get me another Bible or this. I'm attached to this. So. But I found it kind of interest that this is the first chapter I read out of my Old Testament. Maybe God's trying to tell me something. Abraham goes to the land of Moriah with his son Isaac. He's asked to sacrifice his son. And you all know the story. You're very familiar with it. He takes Isaac up and puts him on the altar. Before he lifts the knife, and the angel of the Lord says, no, don't do that. It was a test of love. Isaac is not sacrificed. Instead, he offers another offering there to God. And it's called the Lord will provide is what comes out of that altar. We all are very familiar with this. And you imagine the pain and agony that must have been in Abraham's flesh. Taking something that God had given him. And God knew that Isaac wasn't going to die, but Abraham didn't know that necessarily. Sure, he was hoping it wouldn't happen. Can you imagine the struggle he went through, putting his son up there? What was this all about? On one level, you say it's about obedience. Would Abraham obey God and do something that was so hard for him, the most difficult thing he could do? But on another level, it's about love. God didn't want to kill Isaac. He gave Abraham Isaac. What God wanted was Abraham's love and devotion. And when Abraham put Isaac on the altar, it wasn't to lose him. See, we think of putting things on the altar as a sense of loss. Like if I can't grab onto it, I'm not going to have it. God looks down and says, this altar is where you can share what I've given you with me. I don't want it back. I could hear the Lord saying, I don't want it back. I just want to share with you. There's a point of fellowship, of love. God's saying, I want you to love me more so that you can fully appreciate what I've given you. That's what this is all about. It's not about loss. It's about gain. And when we understand that this altar that we all come to so many times in our life of giving to God is about freeing the love within us for him. God has loved us, and what does the scripture say? Therefore we love him. This is maybe the point of our deepest love for God. When we're threatened, when we realize that something needs to be put on the altar. But when you do that, it's an expression of, God, I truly love you for who you are. It's not about punishment. It's not about God holding you over a fire, just testing you to see if you're going to let go. It's about the Father saying, come share with me what I've given you. Because what God wanted was, he wanted Isaac on the altar because Isaac was going to belong to him, not Abraham. Can you imagine Abraham, how much he desired his son? I mean, he believed for it, and here was his promise fulfilled. Yet God said, you know, Isaac's going to be a man of God too. He's going to have to be given to me. He's going to walk with me. And Isaac proved that out with his life. It's about love. And when we're at that point on that altar, we come to know what a broken spirit is all about, what a contrite heart is all about. Because you can't do that without your heart being broken, your spirit being broken. You can come to that altar with a sense of duty, and it has nothing to do with your heart or spirit. Just your mind telling you, you better do this or else. But when it's really love that's motivating you, you find the joy of having a broken heart before him. In Psalm 51, after David had committed that sin with Bathsheba, he found a place of repentance before the Lord, a time of communion. He said, thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Here's a man that's living in Old Testament times under law, and for a period of time, some moments of time, he transcends that age, finds himself right in the heart of New Covenant. He lived in a time where sacrifices were required by law. Yet something of who God was broke through to him. He realized, this is not what you're looking for, God. Our law tells us to do it, and you gave the law, but this is not what your heart is looking for. You're looking for a brokenness, contrite heart. And another psalm, it describes a contrite heart as a crushed spirit. Sometimes that's what it feels like. So David had that understanding, what God was looking for. This is what the altar of sacrifice is all about. The point where Isaac's on the altar, this is what's happening. Giving that in that way, giving love in that way to God, can only come from a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And that's what God is looking for from us. The law is, and it, unfortunately, I think it's so dominant in so many churches. People want to be preached to. Tell me what to do. Tell me how much to give. How much time? How often do I have to go to church? Tell me about the sacrifices I need to make. God looks down and says, I just want your heart. You can give me your money. You can give me your time. But if I don't have a broken and contrite heart, I don't have you. What did God want from Abraham? Did he want Isaac? No, he didn't want Isaac. He wanted Abraham. Abraham's heart went on that altar with his son. That's what God delighted in. Of interest is the altar of sacrifice for Abraham was in the land of Moriah. You look at 1 Chronicles 21. And at that time, what was happening historically is David decided to number the people, and God was displeased with it. God set a pestilence that killed 70,000 Israelites. And the angel of the Lord stood ready to destroy Jerusalem. And God said, wait, hold on. And David saw that angel. He fell down and wept before the Lord. And he says, God, please don't punish the people, your sheep. I mean, they didn't do anything wrong. I numbered the people. Punish me. And at that place of impending judgment, David built an altar to the Lord. The love, the brokenness poured out of his heart. That was in Moriah. 2 Chronicles 3, Moriah again, this place of Moriah, this land. In that very place, it's called the threshing floor of Ornan. Ornan? That's where David built that altar so the judgment could be averted. In that very place, in the land of Moriah, is where Solomon built the temple. Does that tell us something? From this place of sacrifice where our heart is laid on the altar, it's not just what we're giving up or we think we're giving up. We're giving up ourselves to God. In that very place, His temple, His beauty, His glory comes forth. Even with Abraham, after this time of putting Isaac on the altar, you remember he went out and walked with God, and God said, by the way, Abraham, here are my promises to you. Began to open up such beautiful things to him. From the place that we feel we're shattered, and all we can do is look up and say, God, I love you. And that's where we say, Abba, Father. Daddy, I know you love me, and I'm in your arms, and I want you to know that this brokenness says one thing to you. I love you too. From that very place, something new can open up. The promises of God, the temple. We are all this beautiful temple that God is building. All the things He wants to do for us and through us come out of that place of brokenness. And when you're in that place of brokenness, you feel all you can do is give yourself to God, and that's the end of it. What is an end to us in our thinking is a beginning to God. From that point, He can build. He can bring forth His beauty, His life, as He desires. So this place of sacrifice, don't cheapen it. Don't make it a place of duty and all the condemnation that comes with that and the accusations, and just our human nature just gravitates to that. Jesus Christ shattered that on the cross. It was done. Now when you come before Him and you lay your Isaac on the altar, realize that you're doing it because you love Him. God's not making you do it. He's not holding you over that fire, just seeing how long you're going to burn, how much pain you can take until you let go. God is saying, come if you want to. It's your choice. It's a place where you can let God know how deeply you love Him. And whatever you think you're putting on there, realize you're putting your own heart on that altar. And God delights in that more than any of us could know. Let's stand. What's that one, Hosanna? Hosanna? No, that you sang it this morning. Yeah, that. Can we sing that? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.